The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and have testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. A week ago on Sunday evening, I read this gospel, and I wondered how to do justice to the living Word of God given to us in this text. And during the week, I shaped it and looked at it and reflected on it. And in some way, it's the Spirit that leads us to understand and interpret the Word of God. And here's the manner in which this Word of God became alive to me. It comes from the book of John, and John is full of very powerful imagery. A lot of second and third level meanings in the Gospel of John. And therefore, the first invitation is to try to attach the imagery that the evangelist had in mind when this Gospel was shaped, and how to bring that imagery into the present moment. John's gospel is the one who makes this reference to Jesus being the Lamb of God. We don't find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Their introduction of Jesus is different. And John says, "This is the Lamb of God." And this has powerful imagery to those who first heard that proclamation. The Lamb of God, spoken about, by the way, in Pope Emeritus Benedict's book on Jesus of Nazareth, where he gives great tribute to the American biblical scholar, Father John Meyer. And John Meyer is very strong in telling us that the gospel here, this reference to the Lamb of God, is not meant to be an historical chronology, but rather a theological chronology. Because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus celebrates the Passover. The Last Supper is a Passover meal. Not true in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John has a different chronology. It suggests to us that in fact, the Last Supper was not a Passover meal. In chapter 18 in John, you'll find when they bring Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate, they don't enter the praetorium lest they would be defiled before they share the Passover. Keep in mind, too, that when in chapter 19 of John, when Jesus dies, they don't want the bodies left on the crosses, and therefore they break the legs of the two crucified with Jesus, but they do not break the legs of Jesus. That's an important imagery in the Gospel of John. And what John wants us to do is to remember the 52nd chapter of Isaiah the prophet, speaking about the messianic suffering servant. He says, he will be led to the slaughter like a lamb. He was silent and did not open his mouth. He wants to remember that. He also wants to remember the book of Exodus, chapter 5. Book of Exodus, chapter 12, the first five verses, where we are told that the people of Israel will be saved by the blood of the unblemished lamb. They would put the blood on their doorposts, and this would save them. The unblemished lamb would save a people. And therefore, John says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, singular, the sin of the world, the communal human brokenness of a people. John wants us to remember that. Therefore, in the Gospel of John, the very strong suggestion is that when Jesus was dying on the cross, the lambs for the Passover were being slaughtered. So Jesus is the lamb who is slaughtered in preparation for the Passover, who will save his people from their sins. It's a beautiful theology of the redeeming Jesus. The fact that the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and the pouring out in sacrificial manner will be the occasion of redemption. What does this mean to us? I wonder how to bring this into context. I went back and I read some more of Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. 1862, he wrote that. And in it, he talks about Jean Valjean and how life isn't fair. Of course, life isn't fair. He was 19 years in prison for stealing bread to feed the children of his family. So life isn't fair. And he said, his life is a war with himself, which he cannot win. So even when he gets out of prison, he is still caught in a new kind of slavery. He's caught in the imprisonment of his own anger. And you will remember that he wanders around homeless, so to speak, with nobody to accept him. And he comes to the bishop. And the bishop brings him in and he gives him a meal. He invites him to share at his table. And then he allows him to stay, for which the bishop is rewarded by Jean Valjean stealing his silver. He's not converted. He is still caught in his anger and his hate and his sense of being a victim. Now the police get him and bring him back to the bishop. And the bishop says, oh no. They were a gift to him, that silver. And by the way, he forgot some of the most important silver. Now he is so moved by mercy and by compassion, by the sacrifice, the self-donation of the bishop, the Christ figure of the bishop, that he is transformed into a Christ figure himself. He goes through this self-examination where he said, now I must be more holy than the bishop or more evil than the prisoner. I'm either going to be a saint or a monster. There is no middle ground. The intensity which he brought to his anger must be the same intensity he will bring to his conversion. It's almost Pauline. So he becomes a Christ figure himself because of the compassion, the unmerited grace given to him causes him to be converted. And therefore, He's very gentle in caring for Fantine. Remember that? He adopts Cosette as if his own child. And remember that beautiful anthem he sings over Marius when he's dying. God of love, hear my prayer. He prays that he will die, that Marius might live. The whole conversion in the man's life, not through judgment, not through law, but through compassion, through self-giving, through sacrifice. His life is transformed. The image of Christ, the unmerited grace, is the moment of his conversion. I wondered about that in my own life. Jesus Christ in my life. What causes me to think about conversion? Think about your own life. The sins, the failures, the selfishness, which is so much a part of the human condition, and how the love of God in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ saves us. Unmerited grace, we didn't earn this. I thought about that in my own life. What does this mean? The Lamb of God, the one who is slaughtered, who dies that I might live. I thought about all the people in my life, my parents or whoever, who sacrificed that I might live. All those who dreamed for me, all those who hoped, all those who wished me the best. Unspoken now, people of the past perhaps, easy to forget, yet without their sacrifice, we would not be living. We wouldn't be alive. The image of Christ. Remembering the sacrificial image of Jesus Christ calls us to be Christ for others, not to be caught in the imprisonment of anger. Life isn't fair. Life is not fair. And yet, the Spirit, reflecting on Jesus Christ, calls us to be Christ for others, to share unmerited grace, to bless others when they don't deserve it, to forgive others when they haven't merited. What does this mean to us in our families? What does it mean? What does it mean to us in our communities, in our churches? Pope Francis is saying, it's the person that counts. Over and over again, Pope Francis is saying that. It's the person that counts. Not the sin, not the separation, not the judgment, not the justice, but the love. The image of Christ says, the person. And so in the community of family or in the community of church, when we are tempted to make a judgment and to wonder who is worthy and who belongs, who should we honor, not tolerate, who should we honor, for whom should we sacrifice, to whom will we give a gift which is not deserved, toward whom will we extend forgiveness, not merited. The Lamb of God, taken away my sin. Through his blood, through his death, calling me to die in some small way, to die in order to bless the other person. Yeah. We could change our families, change our churches, change our communities. We could change the world, becoming witness to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.